My name is Jackie Lamport. Today is Friday, February 18th. Welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast. Today on the show.
That's the biggest issue that we're facing today. We are disconnected from our food, and it makes us disconnected from our land.
A pandemic-born project started in one backyard garden has spread across the city, and it's played a key role in tackling food insecurity. So for Good News Friday, we dig into the Palenque Greens Initiative and how it's created a food-sharing network all of its own. Today's Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Fatso Nut Butters. It's that dang good. The folks at Fatso have been screaming maple at the top of their lungs for a few months now. Have you tried it? Check out any of the fine local grocers in Victoria, like Pepper's, to find your jar of Fatso Maple Peanut Butter. Visit eatfatso.com to find a retailer near you. That's eatfatso.com. Ariel Reyes Antoine and Jess Reyes Barton have a big garden. They also have big dreams of opening a cultural center, helping people to connect, not just with each other, but with their source of food. Since 2020, they've started a garden project for people in oppressed communities to have a stable source of healthy food. And it's just kept on growing. For Black History Month, and to find out more about the initiative, podcast co-producer Martin Bauman spoke with Ariel about Palenque Greens.
Ariel, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you so much, Martin.
I want to start with a bit of a different direction, if you wouldn't mind telling me a little bit about your backyard garden. What's growing there?
Oh, man. So at the moment, you know, we are in the off season, but we grow what we eat. So that's our focus, grow what you eat. So now we have a lot of like oregano, but indoors. And we grow like kale, tomatoes. Last season, we grew like the Three Sisters, that technically is like a squash, and beans, and mice, like a corn. I think we grow a lot of things. Technically, what we do is like we share with the community when they come like every 2 weeks to pick up like some plus boxes, which is kind of like one of our main programs, is supporting people in the community to access locally grown food. And it is, we have a big variety of things and using different like growing methods. So I think that answers your questions.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. This initiative that you started where people, well, let's start with the burlap sacks, the burlap sack project. So this started, to my understanding, in 2020 at the onset of the pandemic. Could you just tell me a little bit about the Palenque Greens Initiative and what sparked the idea?
Wow, that's a good question. So I will start off like talking about Palenque, the concept of Palenque. So I'm coming from the eastern part of Cuba, Santiago de Cuba, where for the people that have been in Cuba, like Santiago de Cuba is the second biggest city in Cuba, the biggest island in the Caribbean. And we are very well connected to the other islands in the Caribbean, like Haiti, Jamaica. Those are the biggest like islands that are close to us, and Puerto Rico. So technically, Palenque, it was a mutual aid system created by African slaves, enslaved Africans in the Caribbean in order, like it was like a resistance. So technically, when they escaped from the slave master, from the plantations, they created these small communities in the mountains. And at the beginning, they didn't know how to do the things because it was a new land for them. And they were helped by the indigenous people of the island, which is they are known as the Taino and the Arawak people. And they created these like alliances where they were supporting each other. And they created this like a new method of like agriculture where basically is what is known today. It's like a fast crops because they have to escape like all the time moving because all the slaves like owners, they were chasing them, and they became so good at it that later on they were able, many Palenques, they were so powerful that they were able to trade with the colonizers. So talking about Palenque, that's a concept that we're trying to implement here. how many people, African in diaspora, we can cooperate and be in solidarity with the indigenous communities in the Guangan territory. And when the pandemic hit, like in our household, we are foodies. So Jessica and myself, we are plant-based eaters. And we just decided we have a backyard. Why we don't start growing our own food? And it started off like with a bed frame that we put in the backyard, you know, trying to be creative and use what we have. And then I met different in Vancouver. Her name is MP, Marie Pierre. So she is the co-founder of the East African Permaculture. And then she was just telling me about this, like it's not new because people in East Africa and West Africa have been using it for a bit, like growing food in a sack. And we were thinking how we can engage with people, how can we really support people and like improving the way we eat and also improving the way we grow food. We did a fundraising and just in a week, like people were like, wow, I like this idea, blah, blah, blah. Like we want to be part of that project. And that's the way we start off. We were like around the city with like a sack, mm-hmm. with a soil, compost, seedlings, and with a dolly. That's the way we started off that project. But it was a success. People liked it because it was, you know, it was different. And even the moment, it was the right moment to do that, those kind of projects. And that's the way Palenque Links started.
What would you find in each of those burlap sacks? What kind of seedlings would be in there?
So technically, like I said, like the Palenque concept is like they have to be like fast crops. Like the cycle of growing, it is like a shorter, right? So technically any greens, so arugula, sweet chard, kale, they are very well resistant, lettuce, edible flowers, and technically you can grow anything, but the key thing is trying to create like a small ecosystem where each plant, they talk to each other, they protect to each other. And then you need to think the way you design your palenque, it have to follow that. It's like in a horizontal garden, but technically you're growing vertically. So the plants that create shade, they don't go in the bottom. The plants that are like a more like fragile, they go in the top. So you create it's like a building. It's engineered. It's the same, it's a very easy concept, but also you can grow like potatoes, and also you can grow garlic. So we have been very successful with garlic, but you can grow anything. So the way we do it is like we teach people what we know, but we're trying to encourage like our participants that they have to be creative, you know, they have to think and design the sack in their own way. So we just give them the layout, and then, yeah, they can create. Because that's the other thing, is like, we want people thinking how we can keep creating and keep supporting and finding ways to support each other and to collaborate. Because I don't want people to think we are the saviors, you know? So we want people to think we are just like inspiring people. Mm. The rest is on your own, you know?
And before we continue, a quick word from our sponsor. Today's Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Tide to Table by Walk-In Seafood. The best seafood on the West Coast, delivered right to your door. Proudly family-owned and operated since 1974 from Quadra Island. Try their signature BC spot prawns, halibut, or wild salmon fillets with delivery twice a week, every week. Order now at tidetotable.ca. That's tidetotable.ca.
I was reading an interview you did with Shalu Mehta from The Discourse.
Oh, and,
Shalu. And you had said that food can heal our connection to the land. How so?
Yeah, like when we go back to any civilization, it doesn't matter where you come from. everyone has to eat. But because we are humans, we don't produce anything. So if you don't have like a good connection with the land you're living on, like how can you eat well? So humans, we are engineers by nature. We are creative beings. So for me, the connection to the land, it comes when you understand the cycle of the earth. Our ancestors, they understood this. So if you don't have like a very good relationship with the land you're living on, the food you are having disconnect you or connect you. And that's the biggest issue that we're facing today. We are disconnected from our food and it makes us disconnected from our land. You know, and that's why many issues in our current society, they have been rising because we are totally disconnected, you know, and many people have been saying, and mostly indigenous people, we need to reconnect because we need to find our way back home. And the way back home is a way we engage to that land. And when we reconnect, when you reconnect and we start like sharing those stories, it's going to take us back to that land.
You know, you were talking about community before, and I'm curious to know, because you mentioned, you know, with this initiative, you don't want to be, you know, the savior of anyone, but that maybe initiates more of a community network. What have you seen so far? I mean, have you seen examples of people growing their own gardens and then passing that onwards?
Actually, Martin, like a yes. And we are very happy in the collective when we are taking a toll in our bodies. Like, people have been talking about food in the community. For example, you see a lot of projects like Isamba Center. They have been supporting people on how they connect to food. Like SNIWO, the Support Network of Indigenous Women and Women of Color, they have been doing a lot of projects. Like VERCS with Welcome Gardens. And people are talking about food. People are engaging more with food. It's like a ripple effect. People are getting more aware during the pandemic that we need to nurture and nourish our body. But the only way we can do that is like a connection to the land and connecting to each other.
Where does it go from here? You know, if the challenges that you face are that, you know, the need is high, but there's a good thing going at the community level, where do you take things from here?
That's something that I've been trying not to think too much. Because, you know, we are all know what is the next goal, what is the next step, like, and that's why when we get into troubles, and when I mean my trouble, it's like, okay, we need to scale up, we need to create a bigger organization, and then it's like, you stop like having fun. So I'm a person that I need to enjoy what I'm doing. When that burden becomes like that you are just hitting it, and you're just doing it because you need to get by, I think. So now, EJ is becoming like, it's not a hub, but yet our expertise is like how we can connect different like community organizations with different resources. And how, for example, let's say you are like a family service organization. So what we can create is like, okay, how much food do you need? What kind of food do you need? You know, and then we can apply for grants and also offer the service to that organization so they can focus in their mandate. And then we are supporting those organizations because we have the capacity and expertise in order to know different grants, to know different like farmers, and creating that network of support. I think that's a way EJ is like a moving towards, is becoming like a facilitator. We have done the groundwork, which is a difficult one. We go from there and keep connecting, keep inspiring people, and also like opening eyes. I think that's the only thing we can do because this work is far to be done. So we need to keep engaging in a good way because we have been connecting in a fake way for a long time that now, we don't even know who we are as a community, you know? And then we are learning the COVID, like the pandemic was able to show us that we thought we were strong, but we are not that strong. So that's my takeaway. It's like, how can we like focusing on the community and creating community, because we are many, many communities, many diverse communities in one community, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's like it adds like a complexity to that equation.
Complexity, but a beauty too, when those communities intermingle and meet.
Definitely, definitely. More community events, more like we need like a strengthening those ties, you know? That's the way I see it, because like there is like one saying from my Ubuntu relative that it says like Ubuntu and Ubuntu and Gabantu. That means that I am because you are. Until we don't understand that, you know, we will keep walking in silos, you know, instead of getting together every day more. That's the only thing we can do.
If you want to read more about this, you can check out the written story by Capital Daily Good Newsletter editor Emily Fagan at capitaldaily.ca. And for more stories like this in your inbox every Friday, make sure to subscribe to the Good Newsletter, which you can also do while you're at capitaldaily.ca. And if you want to help support Capital Daily's local journalism and connect your business with our engaged and curious Greater Victoria audience of over 50,000, you can email our partnerships team at advertising@capitaldaily.ca. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a rating and a review, and also subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes going forward. We post new shows every Monday to Friday. My name is Jackie Lamport. This is the Capital Daily Podcast. We'll talk to you Monday.